Hello everyone, welcome back to Ortho Radio. I'm your host, Nick Bertha. Sorry that we've been away for some time. We've had a lot of recent life changes. We welcomed our new son, Garrett Bertha, to the world here just a few weeks ago. So we've had a little bit of time to kind of get everything prepared and taken care of, but now we're back and trying to record some more episodes. So thank you all for continuing to tune in and listen. Today's episode will be about the bane of orthopedists everywhere, and this is infection. Now, specifically, we want to talk about prosthetic joint infections. Infection is such a big topic overall that we kind of need to hone it into one specific spot. When we talk about prosthetic joint infections, we're talking about things like infections of a total hip arthroplasty, a total knee arthroplasty, total shoulder arthroplasty, thing along those lines. The reason that this is so important is because the consequences from having an infection of a prosthetic joint is just so devastating. It's been said that actually the mortality rate of a prosthetic joint infection is actually worse than the mortality rate of breast cancer with today's advents in medications for treating breast cancer, which is pretty alarming that it has such a significant impact. The things that we really want to talk today about and be able to kind of take home from today's presentation is, how do prosthetic joint infections present? How do you know that this is something that you might be having? And we're going to talk a little bit about something called a biofilm as well, and the importance that plays into the role of prosthetic joint infections. We'll also talk about how we evaluate for an infection, as well as how we end up treating the infection. Fortunately, the rate of infection for total joints is relatively low, usually estimated to be about 1% in most of the large joints that we do arthroplasties in or joint replacements in. But as I said, it has a very high consequence when you do have this. So typically, the infection actually spreads from your bloodstream and is what actually ends up reseeding your joint with bacteria, and that causes the bacteria to be able to take hold and be able to start to spread and grow. Now, if you're just recently had your surgery, it's also possible that during the time of your surgery or shortly thereafter when you're in the healing process, that some bacteria from your skin or what have you was either in the wound or has kind of gone into the wound and grows out from that time point. So, you know, like I said, while it's primarily from bacteria that have entered your bloodstream, and that can just be from everyday activities, it doesn't necessarily have to be anything, you know, weird or like you have a big infection somewhere else. It can just be, you know, nothing at all, or it can be from kind of more time frame of when you had your surgery. And the reason that's important is because that breaks into kind of the different time frames that people actually get the infections. So we talk about kind of the acute post-operative period being less than 4 weeks from the operation, and that infection is typically treated differently than some infections that are more chronic or ongoing later on in the time frame which you've had your joint in. The problem with these is that the bacteria was there immediately, and that bacteria needs washed out before the bacteria can kind of take hold in the joint. And we'll get to that when we talk about the biofilms in just a minute here. You can also have what we call acute hematogenous spread, or meaning sudden new spread from your bloodstream that is causing an infection. Or you can have a chronic infection that's a little bit more indolent and that has kind of continually worsened and continually grown. Oftentimes what happens is patients will present with pain in their joint replacement, and that's kind of the biggest symptom, but the timing of it is very important. As I said, there's the timing of having it acutely after the operation, but there's also the timing of having a sudden onset of pain, you know, months or even years later, and that's more of an acute infection usually that can happen, as opposed to like a chronic infection where you start getting some pain and it continues to worsen or not improve. And again, the reason these are important is because it kind of helps guide the treatment that we need to do. I do want to keep in mind that not all painful joint replacements are reasons for infection. We know that from the literature regarding total knee replacements specifically, that about 20% of people have a painful total joint after they get the knee replacement, regardless. And that's even not having anything like an infection or anything along those lines. So it's very important to have the adequate workup and the presentation that really comes with that story before we can say that you really have an infection. The reason that the timing is so important is because the time allows the formation of what's called a biofilm. And a biofilm is essentially when you have bacteria that begin to coat the implant and begin to form a film around it with all sorts of chemicals that kind of hold the bacteria in and grow on the surface of that. Now, that takes time for the bacteria to be able to attach to the surface and to multiply and to kind of overtake everything. And that time is when the biofilm starts to really form. So if you have the infection very acutely and it hasn't had enough time to actually form that film, we think that it's more likely that we can kind of wash that bacteria out and not have any problems moving forward and just get rid of the bacterial load from there. If the film has already formed, then we think it's really hard to get rid of that film, if not impossible to really get rid of that film from the surface of the implant. And we can't just simply just wash out the bacteria from there. We actually usually have to take the implants out. We'll talk a little bit more of that with the treatment moving forward. But that's kind of why this is so important as to when your symptoms really started happening and the relation to when the surgery was and how long things have been persisting. In general, when the bacteria start to enter, it's kind of termed as the race for the surface, meaning that either the bacteria are going to overtake the surface and they're going to cause an infection, or your body's going to be able to stifle the bacteria and your body's going to build its own normal film over that, and it's going to prevent future infections. So the hope is that your body kind of beats the bacteria to kind of claiming that surface as its own. And usually it does, but as we've talked about, sometimes it doesn't. When you come in, you have these symptoms and you're having this pain that's worsening, we want to evaluate and kind of figure out what it is that's actually going on and if that really is an infection. So oftentimes, the first thing that we do is we send you to get some lab work. There are some specific inflammatory markers that we look at, an elevation of your white blood cell count, and those kind of guide us whether or not there's an inflammatory process that's going on that could be consistent with having an infection. As I said, not all pain is infection, so there are other reasons that you can have this, and if those other reasons are present, you may not have any elevated inflammatory markers. Once we have those, we also tend to take some fluid off of the joint or aspirate the joint so that we can also send those for some labs and see actually what comes back from that. That allows us to get a better idea of, is there an inflammatory process that's occurring in your knee, as well as growing that fluid out to see if there's any actual frank bacteria that we can see growing from your knee or any other total joint that is. Years ago, what a group of very smart people did was they came up with this set of criteria that actually identifies whether or not the likelihood of you having an infection is based on the presentation that you have, as well as the results from the inflammatory marker labs and the aspirate labs. So this is called the MSIS criteria, or Musculoskeletal Infection Society criteria. So they have a couple major criteria that primarily revolve around looking to see if you've had two cultures from the fluid that have grown an organism. That is a indication that there's definitely an infection, as well as looking to see if a sinus tract has formed. So that is also definitive of having an infection. And what a sinus tract is essentially having a new wound that forms and opens up at the surface of the skin that actually connects all the way down to the joint. The reason that your body does that is because the bacteria are trying to kind of eat away at things, and eventually it allows your body a way to actually express out and drain the bacteria, as opposed to having them harbor and grow fluid inside your knee. Oftentimes, patients present with an effusion of their knee or fluid about the knee as well, but not necessarily always. And sometimes it's hard to tell based on the patient's body habitus around that actual joint itself to whether or not there's actually a effusion that's occurring. Some of the other criteria that are included in this MSIS criteria, as I said, look at kind of some of those lab values very specifically to see whether or not it seems that there's likely an infection or not an infection. Once we've kind of decided whether or not we believe that there is an infection present, there are many different options to do, kind of depending on what the actual infection is. Sometimes the best option is to do what we call chronic suppression, which is when we just give you antibiotics to try to treat the infection and to try to kind of continue to get things to continually clear out, to kind of hold things at bay. Now, the problem is that using just antibiotics alone usually doesn't get rid of all the bacteria for the reason we talked about with the biofilm formation that harbors all that bacteria and actually keeps it in there no matter what you do. So this is an option in people that may not be a good surgical candidate for oftentimes medical comorbidities or a lack of interest in undergoing other surgical procedures. There's still a risk that the bacteria can reseed that area and start to take over and things can get worse. So this is an option. It's not always the best option, but sometimes it is depending on the patient. Other times, what we can do is if it's a very acute infection, particularly in that early postoperative period, or we've caught the infection that has acutely started, you know, in that more distant time frame, but all of a sudden, you know, you've just had a couple days of really bad pain, we can sometimes just simply wash out the joint and just make an incision, open everything back up, and literally just kind of clean everything out and debride any infected tissue. The reason that that can work in an early time frame is because we don't believe that those biofilms have had enough time to actually take hold and keep that bacteria in there. So we can take it, we can wash it out, and hopefully give your body a chance to be able to kind of retake over that space and prevent the bacteria from really harboring in there and causing another infection. Oftentimes that works as pretty successful in the acute infections. However, if it's not, at this point, we're talking about usually doing some sort of revision type procedure. And what this involves is usually kind of taking the implants out and putting new implants back in. And you can do this in kind of one of two ways. There's what's termed as kind of the one stage revision, where we open everything back up. We take all of the implants out. We wash everything very thoroughly, and then we take new implants and we put them back in, and we keep you on some antibiotics from there just to make sure everything is kind of cleared out. This method is much more popular in Europe than it is the United States, but it is growing some popularity in the United States and is being done more commonly. The problem is that people have been concerned that even though we kind of washed everything out, that there may be biofilm on the bone or other areas of the joint, that things are not truly clean yet to allow you to place a new implant in. So what has generally been considered the gold standard for treatment in years past has been this two-stage revision. And in the two-stage, what we do is the first time we go in, we remove all of the previous metal implants, and we put in what's called an antibiotic spacer. And what that usually consists of is putting in some cement that has antibiotics impregnated into it. And that allows the antibiotics to kind of spread throughout the joint and to kind of help clear everything out, hopefully, over the course of, you know, a couple months. And then while we keep you on some antibiotics, we can go back in a few months and do a second procedure where we open everything back up, take out the antibiotic spacer, and finally put in the new final implants. And the hope from the two-stage procedure is that by having that intermediate time where we have the antibiotics going directly into the tissues that are around the joint, as well as the antibiotics that you're on, usually through an IV, that gives things enough time to really clear out all your tissues and really make that area bacteria free before you put new implants on. The theoretical concern is that by putting new implants into an area that already has bacteria is just going to allow the bacteria to take hold again. That being said, it does seem that from the data from Europe, there is a very high success rate of doing the one-stage revision. So there is some change in that, as I said. So we'll see where that kind of continues to go as things move forward. A couple other alternatives, if there's still continued infection or you get another infection and you're losing too much bone from having the revision procedures, sometimes what happens, again, if patients are not amenable to, you know, one reason or another to have that long surgical time, we can just take the implants out and just leave everything out. It's not ideal depending on the joint. Sometimes it still does cause some residual pain, but it at least helps remove the source of where the infection is and hopefully get that patient infection free. And the best part about that is that really reduces your mortality rate. Because as I said, you know, having an infection that's really significant like this could end up causing a death. So if you have that and you need to get those implants out, it's very important that we do so. Other things that can be done is actually fusing the joint sometimes. Not an awesome option because we have to take your other implants out and then we kind of get the bones to heal themselves just together without having a large amount of metal, but it usually requires some metal that goes through there as well. Or sometimes people can do that with the antibiotic spacer component that still allows things to fuse together. Again, not a great option, but it's something that can be done. Usually kind of the last option from there, if nothing is going well and the infection is continuing to persist and it's causing a life-threatening situation, the other option is doing an amputation. Obviously, this is not an area that anyone wants to get into, whether it's the patient or the provider, because it's a big change for anybody to have. But if it gets to the point where the infection is just so bad and, you know, you don't have the soft tissue coverage to be able to even close the wound, or it's becoming to a point where, you know, you are imminently at a risk of loss of life, that can be the best option to kind of eliminate the issue. Sometimes as well, specifically when looking at things like knee replacements, sometimes if you have all these revision surgeries, your knee becomes so stiff and you lose all the function of your knee and it's so painful for you that even though you may get to a point where we can keep the infection under control, sometimes it's truly better just to have the amputation and get rid of that tissue, because the function of prostheses often gives patients a much better functional leg than having that stiff, painful knee. So while it does sound very scary, and it is, sometimes it actually can be a really great result and can be a really great treatment option depending on the patient and the scenario. Again, hopefully you never have to get to that. So the goal of all this, you know, at the end of the day is to achieve an infection-free implant that's functional. Sometimes, you know, you have to continue to keep people on antibiotics even for a period of time or even lifelong, depending on that patient, even after you've done some of these revision surgeries. So that's at least kind of the general course of the presentation of how prosthetic joint infections start and how people often present and how they feel and how we actually end up diagnosing these and treat these and the importance of why biofilms play such a large role into choosing what our treatment algorithm is and what we really need to do for you so that we can get the joint infection under control. I hope that provides you some insight into prosthetic joint infections, and there's many, many more nuances, but this is to kind of give you a general overview. If you ever have more questions or you're in this scenario, please ask your physician to tell you more about these things, and don't hesitate to ask questions so that you can get an idea as to what the best option is for you. So I hope you all learned something today. It was a pleasure to be back and talking with you all again. I hope that you continue to listen and tell your friends about our podcast, Ortho Radio. Until next time, thank you.